Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 2 November 2025, Romans.
All right, the announcement before we get started, there will be a brief, notice not short, there will be a brief teachers meeting after the communion service today, all right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, that eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 8, and we have been in verse 28 for many moons here, and many suns on Sunday, and we have gone through in great detail the essence of God, because of Romans 8:28, which says, in fact, we know that to the ones who love God, now that's the key. In fact, we know that to the ones who love God, and that is spiritually mature believers only, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to the predetermined plan and purpose of God. But Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the essence of God. In fact, we, spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, that has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, all things work together for the purpose of good. And to love God, you have to know God. And that's where we stopped and went on a special. And by the way, that special on the essence of God is available on MP3 discs. You can get it on our website. Had several people contact us and want to know, could there be a special on the essence of God? Well, we have it. We went through in great detail what the Bible has to say about the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, which is made up of His righteousness and justice, the love of God, eternal life of God, His omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, His immutability, and His veracity. That has been completed. That is now a special on MP3 discs and available to anyone. Now, that brings us to Romans 8, 29 and 30. And in Romans 8, 29 and 30, we have the five steps to glory. Step one is foreknowledge, that's verse 29. Step two is predestination, that's verse 29. Step three is election to privilege, that's verse 30. Step four is justification, that's verse 30. And step five is glorification, and that's verse 30. So we start out in Romans 8:29 with step one, which is foreknowledge. And that we always start with the thundering diction of the King James, and then we present exactly what the God-breathed Scripture says after that. For whom He did foreknow. We have the conjunction hati plus the accusative plural of the relative pronoun hos plus the aorist active indicative of the verb prognosko. Now the conjunction hati, and those of you who are consistent and faithful, you, when I say when hati follows a verb of decendi, and we had in verse 28, oida, to know, that's the verb of decendi. When hati follows the verb of decendi, you translate it that. And then we have, we know that. What do we know? We know that the accusative plural, the relative pronoun hos, H-O-S, hos, is the direct object of the verb prognosko, and it's correctly translated, the ones whom. Okay, we know that, the ones whom. And then we have the verb prognosko. Looks like that in the Greek, that's P-R-O-G-I-N, long O, S-K, long O, pro-gnosko. Well, let's take a look at what this means, pro-gnosko. First of all, point one, it's a compound verb. It's a compound verb made up of pro, well, that's before, and gnosko, that's to know. So it's a compound word made up of the preposition pro plus the verb gnosko. So point two, literally, prognosko means to know beforehand. To know beforehand. You see, it would have been great if you knew beforehand who was going to win the World Series. And my youngest brother, Dave, he's always been a Dodgers fan, and he was tickled blue that they won the World Series. That was one of the most fun World Series to watch. You didn't know who was going to win the daggum thing. And that last game, Game 7, I go, gee, Toronto's going to win. No, the Dodgers are going to win. No, Toronto's going to win. No, Dodgers are going to win. Nope. Dodgers won. There you go. It was a great World Series. That just free of charge. when you come here, you just lucked out on that one. Three. So point two, literally, prognosko means to know beforehand. Point three, so prognosko means to know in advance, to have foreknowledge of something. To know in advance, to have foreknowledge of something. Four, in step one of the five steps to glory, reality is in the mind of God. Reality is in the mind of God. Now, point five is very important. Make sure you get this. Chronologically, there is an order. Chronologically, we have an order. First of all, the omniscience of God. And we studied that in great detail, the omniscience of God. And God knows everything. He knows everything actual and everything possible. He knows what happened if that last hit was a single instead of a double play. You see, it came up to the... You got Vladimir Guerrero on third with one out. All they have to do is get a fly ball and Toronto wins the World Series. That's it. Or get a single. Or a home run or whatever. The only way the Dodgers could win was there had to be a double play. And the hitter hit it right to the second baseman, stepped on second, threw to first, and the World Series is over. So it came down to either team could have won on the last batter. You get that free of charge too. But God knows everything that happened if it had gone through or been a fly ball or a short fly ball, one that could even be thrown home and maybe get him at home. He knows all of the iffy history. That's the omniscience of God. Omniscience of God is everything actual and everything probable. That's omniscience. That's first. Then, from the omniscience of God, we have the divine decree. And from the omniscience of God, God only puts in reality. Only reality goes into the divine decree. So omniscience first. That's everything, even probable. But then the realities goes into the divine decree. And then, on the other side, foreknowledge. Now, these five steps that we have in Romans 8, 29 and 30, they are... these ones, every time you have these ones that God foreknew, these ones that he predestined, these ones that he elected to privilege, these ones that he justified, these ones that he glorified. It's the same ones. The spotlight is on, and this is for believers only. These five steps to glory are for believers only. Foreknowledge, predestination, election, justification, glorification. And this was Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer's favorite passage to teach in chapel at Dallas Theological Seminary. This was his favorite passage. And he would teach it and say, these ones that God foreknew, believers those who would believe in Jesus Christ, these same ones he predestined, these same ones he elected to privilege, these same ones he justified, these same ones he glorified, and God didn't lose one. He didn't lose one person from foreknowledge through glorification. These same ones. So what we have here is the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the five steps to glory, the same ones who would believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is true for every one of you this morning. If you're here and you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, through simple faith in Christ, you are in these ones, in the five steps to glory. Fantastic. It's God's amazing grace to each one of us. So, you got to know the order here. So, chronologically, there is an order. We start out with the omniscience of God, which knows the realities and the probabilities, the alternatives. Omniscience knows all of iffy history. And then, second, the divine decree. And the realities only are entered into the divine decree. And then third, foreknowledge is a printout. And it simply acknowledges or knows what is in the divine decree. So here now, point six. Make sure you get this now. Nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. Nothing can be foreknown until it is first decreed. Foreknowledge is more limited in its scope than the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God knows all the probabilities, all the alternatives, all of iffy history, while the foreknowledge of God only deals with reality, only with reality. So, seven. Therefore, omniscience precedes the divine decrees. Omniscience precedes the divine decree, whereas foreknowledge follows the divine decree. Therefore, omniscience precedes the divine decree, whereas foreknowledge follows the divine decree. In omniscience, God knows perfectly and eternally all that is knowable, whether actual or possible. However, in foreknowledge, we are dealing with realities only. Realities only. Point eight. Foreknowledge comes after the divine decree. Foreknowledge comes after the divine decree. Nine. I just reached puberty at 76. I made it though. Therefore, foreknowledge refers only to those things which are adopted in the plan of God. Therefore, foreknowledge refers only to those things which are adopted in the plan of God. Ten. Between omniscience and foreknowledge are the divine decrees. Between omniscience and foreknowledge are the divine decrees. So chronologically, there is an order. Now that chronological order is not in view in Romans 8:29. That's not the spotlight on Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 is putting the spotlight on these same ones. These same ones. That's the spotlight in Romans 8:29. Where is the chronological order? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's start at verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan. There's the chronological order. Predetermined plan first. Then the foreknowledge of God. Here's the chronological order. Predetermined plan, divine decree, then foreknowledge. You nailed this one to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. So the chronological order is in Acts 2:23. That's not the purpose in our verse. The spotlight is on these same ones. These same ones, all the way through in the five steps to glory. So 11, rather than chronological order in our passage, Romans 8, 29 and 30, we have the doctrinal principle that these same ones who were foreknown, predestined, elected to privilege, justified, and glorified. They are the same one. You and me. Royal family of God in the church age. 12. Romans 8, 29 and 30 demonstrates that the ultimate objective of God is the glory of God. The ultimate objective of God is the glory of God. We're here. Why are you here? Well, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Why are you here after salvation? After salvation, what? You're here to glorify God to the maximum in your life. And we're only here a short time. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But you're here after salvation. You're here to glorify the living and true God to the maximum. That's why you're here. How do you do that? Well, he's given us a series of mandates. He's commanded us, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Attain spiritual maturity. Have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have those things, well, you will glorify God to the maximum. You will glorify God to the maximum here in time, and you will glorify God for all eternity. Because when you attain spiritual maturity, God pours out greater grace blessings to you in time. In six categories, and we've studied those. And then, at the judgment seat of Christ, following the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, he pours out crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for all eternity that glorify God forever and ever and ever. That's why this is such a powerful passage, Romans 8. 28 through 30. So 13, since foreknowledge deals only with what God decreed, it emphasizes to us that each believer was in the mind of God in eternity past. Before you were ever here, you were in the mind of God in eternity past. And he has the most fantastic plan for you, because he was thinking about you. So since foreknowledge deals only with what God decreed, it emphasizes to us that each believer was in the mind of God in eternity past. 14, divine thinking included every believer. Every one of you. No one of you was left out of this first step. Divine thinking. Now that's just absolutely amazing. That's how great our God is. Our God is a living and true God. He's a God of grace. And his plan is grace. His salvation is by grace. His spirituality is by grace. And for all eternity, that grace plan will be worked out. And you are a part of that. 15. Divine thinking related to foreknowledge indicates that God has a plan for your life. Every one of you who are here, God has a plan for your life. So we know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew. Now, step two. We have predestination. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have the conjunction chi plus the aorist active indicative of pro orizo this time, plus the accusative plural of sumorphos, plus the genitive singular of akon with a definite article, the genitive singular of huios with a definite article, and the genitive singular of autos. All right, we have the adjunctive use of chi, not the connective chi, adjunctive. K-A-I, what the adjunctive use of chi is correctly translated also. Also, and this brings in step two, pro orizo. That's how it looks in the Greek, P-R-O-O-R-I-Z, long O, pro orizo. Okay, let's break this down. Again, we have a compound word. So point one, pro orizo is a compound verb made up of the preposition pro, which is before. Plus the verb orizo, which means to determine. To determine. So, point two, literally, pro orizo means to decide upon something beforehand. To decide upon something beforehand, to predestine someone or something, to predesign, to foreordain. So pro orizo means to decide upon something beforehand, to predestine someone or something, to predesign, to foreordain. Three, pro orizo is one of the main verbs for the doctrine of predestination. One of the main verbs for the doctrine of predestination. And you all, most of you know that we have a ministry at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair is playing the Heaven Special to the people there at the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. And these are fantastic ladies. And they had a question. They wanted to know what the Bible had to say about predestination. So Rich came to me. He says, they want to know about predestination. I said, well, great. I said, and I'm about 3 or 4 months ahead of in my study. I said, well, I got predestination all nailed out. I'll just give it to you, and you can give it to them, and they can study predestination. The most important thing you need to know about predestination, one of the most important things is that no one is predestined to go to hell. If you wind up in the lake of fire, you wind up there by your own bad decision to reject Jesus Christ, to refuse to believe in Christ as your Savior. God does not predestine anyone to go to hell. Now, when I was at Washington State University, and I was taking a class, it was a great professor, and he noted that all my papers I was writing about God and the Word of God and principles in the Word of God. And he says, Dick, he says, everything you write here, you write about God and the Bible and that. He says, well, why do you do that? I said, well, I was told my first year here as a freshman, I wrote a big, flowery, fantastic bunch of garbage. And the professor said, she gave me an F. I got an F on it. She goes, I gave you an F because all you did was throw up on your paper. She says, do you believe in anything? I said, yes, I do. Then write about something you believe in with all your heart and put yourself into what you believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, then write about him because you believe in him. Do you love him? I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I wrote these things. Well, this professor, he said, Dick, my father told me I was predestined to go to the lake of fire. I was predestined to hell. I said, well, you really had a nice dad, didn't you? I said, that's impossible. I said, if you have simply believed in Christ as your Savior, you'll go to heaven. Now, your dad might be looking at your feet of clay and failures in your life, and he didn't care for those failures in your life, your feet of clay. And so he made that kind of a statement to try to scare you and to get you into, well, whatever he wanted you to, into his church or into something. I said, but that's totally wrong. God doesn't predestine anyone. Not one person to the lake of fire. God gave us all a free will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged on the cross. That's why. Why were the sins of the whole world poured out on Christ and judged? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would love to see everyone in the human race believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. He would love to see that. But he gave us a free will, a volition. You're free to believe in Jesus Christ. You're free to reject. And if you reject Jesus Christ till physical death, then you will wind up in the lake of fire. But God didn't predestine you to go to the lake of fire. God wanted you to believe in Jesus Christ. But we all have a free will. You're free to believe in Christ. You're free to reject. You're free to believe the teaching of the Word of God. You're free to reject. So when we go through, and I haven't quite got to the doctrine of predestination yet, but we will. One thing you absolutely must understand, God does not predestine anyone to the lake of fire. And I've made that very clear to this. He was a younger professor. And he said, "Oh, well, Dick, nobody ever presented that." I said, "Well, that's God's word. That's how great our God is." And I explained what Christ did for him on the cross and did for the sins of the whole world. I said, "Now, I don't know. You know, you obviously had a religious background. But I'm just telling you, if you simply, from your free will, believe in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, you will be in heaven." I said, "Wouldn't that be great? You're in heaven and just piss your dad off. And you'll both be in heaven and he'll go, 'What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in hell.'" You know. I said, "Why don't you just piss your dad off and believe in Jesus Christ?" You know. See, I said piss, and you know, there goes the dignity of the clergy. Just went out the window. So point three, proorizo, is one of the main words for the doctrine of predestination. Four, in our verse, Romans 8:29, predestination is putting the spotlight on the royal family of God. The church-age believer becoming conformed to the image of the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. In our verse, Romans 8:29, predestination is putting the spotlight on the royal family of God, the church-age believer, becoming conformed to the image of the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the word sumorphos. Looks like that in the Greek, S-U-M-M-O-R. P-H-O-S. Sumorphos. And sumorphos means having the same form or similar in form or to become conformed. Become conformed. And we'll translate become conformed, and then the noun akon. An acone looks like this. E-I-K, long O-N, acone. An acone means image or likeness. That's literally. Figuratively, it means form or appearance. Become conformed to the appearance of tu huio autu, of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, corrected translation. We know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew, these same ones, he also predestined to become conformed to the appearance of his Son. This is the fantastic plan that God has for us. His plan for us, and it takes us from salvation to all eternity. We know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew, these same ones, he also predestined to become conformed to the appearance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, doctrine of predestination. And we only got 5 minutes, so you'll get point one, part of point one. Definition of predestination. You have to come back next week for point two, and three, and four, and five. But here we go. Definition of predestination. Subpoint one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Two, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of faith in Christ, the church age believer enters into union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. At that very second of your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And just through that makes you royal family of God. Royal family of God. So, point three, we become, through the baptism of the Spirit, we become the royal family of God. In the Old Testament, they were family of God through regeneration. All the way through, salvation is the same throughout human history. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. But there was no baptism of the Spirit in the Old Testament. They believed in Christ, regeneration, they were family of God. We believe in Christ, and God the Holy Spirit takes us and puts us in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We're royal family of God. What a fantastic blessing. So we become royal family of God through the baptism of the Spirit. Spiritual aristocracy. Four, predestination is the work of God the Father in eternity past. Predestination is the work of God the Father in eternity past on behalf of every church age believer, every one of you. That we might fulfill His plan, will, and purpose for our life. That we might fulfill His magnificent plan, will, and purpose that He has for our life. Our God has the greatest plan for your life. The absolute greatest plan. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you will fulfill that fantastic plan that He has for your life, and you will glorify God to the maximum while you're here in time and for all eternity. All right. Well, that's a start on the doctrine of predestination. We'll pick it up here next time. We're going to take a break. After the break, we have the Lord's table.